This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And today is such an exciting episode because we have our first guest of Killing Time. And who better to be our first guest than this guy? You may know him as the lead guitarist in a band called The Main. You may know him from all of his beautiful work that he does producing our podcast. Or if you're me, you may know him as your sweet, sweet boyfriend, Jerry.
You may also know him as my partner, Jared.
The number one Google search result.
Yes.
Jared.
Next to Alexis Linkletter.
Yeah. Jared Monaco,
AKA Alexis Linkletter boyfriend.
Alexis's boyfriend.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Welcome, big fan. Welcome, Jared. How do you feel about being our first guest?
I feel honored. Long-time listener.
It's first time guest.
Kind of my job, but.
Second time guest.
Second time guest. That's right.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
We're glad to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
We're actually going to probably have you for a few episodes.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm leaving.
No, because you're Jack's designated driver. Yeah. Here. That's another one of your titles.
Exactly. I got to get you home somehow.
While I drink many Aperol spritzes, Jared can drive me home at the wee hours of the night because it always takes us way longer than we think to record these fucking episodes.
So true.
I'm here for it. I'm ready.
Thank you. All right, Billy, before we get into the episode, we got to know, what is the day today? What is the dark day that we are celebrating or
not celebrating?
Not celebrating.
This is the anti-celebration. Today is June 3rd, and this, in 1943, June 3rd was the start of the Zoot Suit Riots.
Ooh.
Oh.
I don't know much about the Zoot Suit Riot.
Can you give us a... So here's what happened. Now... Zoot suits were, do you know what zoot suits were, right?
They
were.
I know about Zoot Woman, and I know that song Zoot Suit Riot.
I mean, Zoot Suit Riot, a
Cherry
smash
Pop and Daddy's.
Hit. A smash, smash hit.
But there's also a band called Zoot Woman, and I was like,
what?
There is one. It's not the same thing that does Zoot Suit Riot, but tell me and maybe I'll...
Okay. Well, I know what a Zoot Suit is.
It's a very large suit.
Yes, oversized.
Oversized suit. Now,
with very shiny shoes.
Yes. Now, in the 1940s, it was... this weird thing that people had that it was unpatriotic to wear those suits because they were rationing everything. And it's just like, you're wearing too much clothing.
Too much fabric.
Too much fabric. So these pricks, these 11 sailors, they get off a bus in downtown LA and they spot some Mexican-Americans wearing these zoot suits and then they attack them. Mm. And then this starts a whole thing because... that happens, and then the next day, all these other sailors come in a convoy from probably Long Beach or something like that, where they were stationed. They come up here, and they're just like, we're going to attack anybody with a zoot suit. And I'm going to read from Wikipedia here. During the next few days, thousands of servicemen and residents joined the attacks, marching abreast down streets, entering bars and movie houses, and assaulting any young Mexican-American males they encountered. In one incident, sailors dragged two zoot suiters on stage as a film was being screened, stripped them in front of the audience, and then urinated on their suits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm speechless.
But the and here's the thing. No soldiers were ever charged or arrested. But, of course, they arrested a lot of the Latinos. This has became such a thing that activists like Malcolm X and Cesar Chavez actually pointed to it as like this was their inspiration into getting into political activism.
Wow, that's so interesting.
I'm into it.
I did not know the history behind the Zoot Suit.
I want to understand the significance of the big suit. Is it because they can hide things in it, like a gun or a bat?
No, it was just fashion.
No.
Yes.
There's got to be some practicality element here.
No, because it just looked...
But a loose suit does not look good.
You know what? Have you seen like the fashions in the 80s and 90s? There was a lot of loose stuff going on.
What other what loose stuff? I remember lots of tight things.
Loose sweatpants, loose jeans.
I love a loose... Yes, I love a loose jean or a sweatpant. Obviously, I wear things that are way too big for my body. But a suit...
ill-fitted suit is just ill-fitted no good.
It's not ill-fitted. It was actually made to, you know, David Byrne. And
I was just going to say, David Byrne. That's stop making sense. That big suit is like one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Killed the Zoot Suit at the end
of
the day.
Was it like, dude, yeah. Was the style like hammer pants baggy, or were they just like straight wide leg? I want to understand.
It was more the breast of the suit. I think it was a double-breasted suit, and it was just very large. You know.
Wow, okay.
And listen, as somebody that didn't understand tailoring until he was like 40 years old,
yeah.
Because I always bought stuff that just, the sleeves fit, so then I buy it extra large. Meanwhile, I'm like a larger medium.
I had the same problem. Yeah. Honestly, discovering tailoring, I don't know why everybody so long,
game
but it is
changing.
A game changer.
You know what? If you learn anything from this podcast,
it's that.
Get a tailor, especially those that are... tall.
It'll make you feel like $1 million.
It really does.
Like, you'll wonder why you hate all your clothes until you get them tailored.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
Love it.
All right, well, now we've got some bitching to do.
Oh, shit. I'm ready.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, so this is on the stand where each of us are bringing a subject, an object, I don't know, whatever we want, an idea, a theory to the stand. We're either prosecuting it or defending it. And then the other three of us now are going to vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Jared, did you bring something on the stand? I'm not going to put you on the spot right now.
I mean, I got a few ideas bouncing around my head. They're not really fleshed out, but nothing I ever think about ever is. So I could go, but maybe you guys should go first.
No, I was just wondering if you're prepared, if we're going to include you in on the stand.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm game.
I'm going to go first, actually. I'm going to kick this off.
I'm so ready.
So on the stand today is the word fuck.
Ooh.
So we've gotten some complaints about the first degree, about honestly only mine and Alexis's use of the word fuck.
Not Billy,
of course. Only the gals of the group are getting shit for it. I'm going to read a few reviews that we have gotten that have been posted in our Facebook group. One review says, language. I've been listening to this podcast for a while, but recently have been completely turned off by the F-bomb being used so much. Glad there are a ton of other choices. This group seems way too immature for my taste. Another review. Good, but could be better. I love the content, but hate the foul Landons. Really disappointed that it is mostly from the quote-unquote ladies. You can really get your point across without using the F word, I promise. So, I love the word fuck.
There's so much wrong with this.
There's so much wrong with this. Number one, it's only pointed at me and Alexis.
Number two, you're listening to a show about murder, and so you're fine with that.
Disemboweled,
gratuitous language all abound.
Yes.
But the word fuck is offensive to you, yet you're here to discuss and hear about morbid things, and it just sounds very hypocritical.
It's an odd choice. And we fought long and hard with our partners into letting us stop bleeping out our curse words, because I feel like it's distracting when you hear the beep when we're talking, and we only really use the word fuck when it's for emphasis.
Impassioned.
We're not using it in an offensive way. So I'm here to defend the word fuck.
Okay. This is not a debutante podcast. This is not a podcast where Jack and I talk about being a lady or talk about being ladylike, or it offends me that I'm put in a box like that, because honestly, it's like, I want to do everything Billy does. I want to do things men do. I don't give a shit. And Billy curses too, but people seem to overlook it. it's sexist to say things like that. And I think women need to Google it and look up what that means. Like, if you are coming at Jack or I for not being quote unquote ladylike, this is your free podcast. You just don't have to listen. Love you, but like,
free the fucks. Yeah. Free the fucks is all I have to say.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, and this is something that came out of journalism, because I started out in alternative journalism. So it was, we could curse.
Oh.
Except at a headline. You can never use fucking a headline, but we could curse.
Interesting.
But I remember writing and then cursing a little bit too much, and my editor is saying, it's too easy. You're going for the easy thing. It's like, Seinfeld says this, actually. He says that using the F word, it's like a Corvette. And when you think about Corvette, it's shiny and stuff like that, but it's a shitty car. It's a guy that collects like 20 Porsches or whatever the fuck that he has.
Yeah, so, good use of fuck, Bill.
Good one. He just did one.
Yep, I see what I did there. But, you know, so if it comes out in natural conversation, and if it's something that is so, you're so impassioned about it, it is incredibly effective.
Yes.
But it's, you know, but the thing is that I think it is so effective that it should be used sparingly, only when you really want to get your point across.
I do. I absolutely agree. And we do that. However, we're being called out on the number of times that we do it.
Yeah, I don't respond well to people trying to censor me. Discovery Plus, where Billy and our show is, our podcast is, they let us use the word fuck on TV. And it's a streaming service. They let us use the word fuck on a premium podcast like Unraveled Long Island Serial Killer. No one's forcing anyone to listen to anything. It's a word we all know. Like, if you clutch your pearls at fuck, then you should look at the mirror, because maybe murder is not your thing.
It's just very ironic within the context of the content of our episodes.
Yes.
It would be one thing if we were like teaching an etiquette podcast.
Yes. And then look for the merch that is going to say fuck. Don't listen if murder's not your thing. Yeah.
Honestly, not a bad idea for a shirt.
I mean, I had fuck on many a Jack Bannon t-shirts back in the day.
I love it.
Okay, so what do we think? Fuck, guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Wait, Jared, weigh in on this. What about music in the word fuck?
I mean, when I was younger, the goal was to get the explicit content sticker on.
Yeah, you want that Snoop Dogg sticker.
Yes. Yeah, but you know, it used to be, I think it used to be like a badge, but now it's like it's so common now, and I think people are so used to it. I really remember like alternate versions of songs like growing up, and like,
well,
now,
even I mean, the most famous song with fucking it is CeeLo's song. Yeah, you know, and when you change it to, it's so refreshing to hear that song when it's like,
right,
driving like, downtown with the girl I love, and I'm like, fuck you.
And then you hear the radio version, it's like, forget you.
Oh,
and
you're like, this is, this has not the same meaning anymore.
Oh, no, yeah. It's nice when they finally, like, it's that like reveal when you finally get to like just enjoy it. I don't know. I think it's a powerful word, but I don't take really anything super serious. And I feel like people shouldn't.
Do you have any, are there any songs in the main that have the,
absolutely,
the word fucking it?
There's gotta be.
There's gotta be. He doesn't know the lyrics to his
I
own
said
songs.
Absolutely there's gotta be. So not guilty. I'm saying not guilty.
Not guilty, not friends. Guilty.
Great. Okay. Alexis, what's on the stand for you today?
Okay, so this is something I saw last week. There was a news article about a woman who got into a fight with her roommate and lit the house on fire. And she basically sat in the front yard as the house went up in flames. And sat in a folding lawn chair and was reading a book or a newspaper and just watching the house burn.
Okay.
But like so casual about it and so smug about it. And just like, yeah, I'm watching my house burn. It's no big deal. And in the ratings, in the comments under posts about this article, people are sort of like egging her on. Like, yeah, like you stand up for yourself, or all right, like this woman's badass or whatever. And then you keep reading and you learn that firefighters had to rescue someone from the basement because the house was going up in flames.
Oh, my God.
Because someone was calling for help. So I'm going to say she's charged with attempted murder and arson.
Oh.
You know, people are taking this very lightly. And I think she's a sociopath. So my whole thing here is that I think she's guilty.
Yeah.
Where some people are sort of going counterculture and supporting her because it's such a bold move. But, and also, I think it's just, it'd be a funny meme. I think people are just sort of doing like, ooh, mood. Like, this is how bad of a bitch I am. Like, this is how, this is fuck with me and see what happens. And I'm just like, no, this isn't nice. Talk to your roommate. Use your interpersonal communication skills. I'm sure, like, you could come up with a chore schedule. Like, I'm sure... Have a, you know, add $30 each to the rent, have a cleaning person come in. Like, I'm sure there's a way better than this.
Do we know what the argument was about, or that is not information that has been
that
shared?
That is not information that's been shared, but we're going to play a little bit of audio right now from people who are filming and spectating. So it's pretty funny. So stand by for that.
Oh my God. I actually can't believe this. And she's just chilling back. Like, yeah, I'm watching this go down. Oh my God. This is now turned into a serious, serious thing. Get out of the house! It's on fire! Get out of the house!
I wonder what she's reading. Like, is it erotic fiction? Like, she can't pull herself away from it?
I mean, I didn't know when you were explaining it earlier that the person that they rescued was her roommate.
Yeah.
So she actually tried to kill her roommate. This isn't like a funny ha-ha we're all out of the house. Like, that is attempted murder.
According to the indictment, at least.
Here's my question. What's worse, the person sitting and watching the burning house or the person sitting and filming the person sitting and watching?
So if you keep watching, though, they actually run in. Like, they try to help. They do try to help.
I mean, your first instinct, especially now, the way that we're, which is a good thing, because there's so many screwed up things in the world, is to take out your phone and start recording. Then the second instinct is like, nobody. If you see that nobody else is coming, you go and help. Yeah, this woman is, if the indictment is true, which it seems like it is, attempted murderer. Don't like it. She's guilty.
Guilty as hell.
So this is something that I want to put on the stand. I don't know where I land on it.
Oh.
But.
Still undecided.
It's very.
Controversial?
It's very Seinfeldian.
It's a great. When you are unsure about something and you're being pushed and pulled in different directions, it's a great time to bring it on the stand.
Okay. Get some insight.
Yeah.
Calling someone without texting them first.
Depends on who it is.
Well, give us, what's your backstory?
You know what? I was just sort of thinking about the phone and how we interact. When you get a lot of people, particularly of a younger generation, really see a phone call as
a threat.
As a threat, as a intrusion of privacy. Give me a heads up. Please text me first before you're going to actually call me so I can decide whether I actually want to talk to you.
Yes.
Now, growing up myself, and you guys were there too. I'm not that much older than you. Where you had...
You 15 years.
That'd be 14, but okay. But
okay.
15 from me.
You're splitting hairs.
Okay, but so you've got...
16 from Jared.
Whatever.
But you know what? When somebody called, when you got a phone call, when the phone rang, that was a treat. That was like, who's on the phone? You don't know who it was. And now.
Oh my God. And there was no caller ID back in the day.
Yes.
How terrifying.
You didn't know who it could have been.
You answered. And then if it's like your creepy Uncle Greg, you just have to continue to talk them.
Hi, Uncle Greg.
Yes. You didn't know who it was. The technology, the one thing that technology has done for all the great things that it has done, it has destroyed any sense of mystery in our lives.
I love it. I don't want that. I have enough fucking fears.
Mystery brings me great anxiety.
Yeah, me too. I want to know exactly what I'm dealing with.
I don't want any personal mystery. Absolutely not. We talk about mystery because it's not connected to us whatsoever, but a personal...
No, like, ooh, what disease could I have when I'm old? Like, let's do a genetic test so I can prepare or financially not burden my children. Like, I don't want any mystery. None.
Sadly, death is the ultimate mystery.
Yes.
You know?
But because so many people do it that I'm actually not afraid of it because it's like, everyone makes it look really easy, frankly.
What, death?
Yeah.
Except for those who don't. But yeah.
No, I want to respond to this.
Okay, go.
So I think it depends on who it is. If I call Jack without a text, she knows to call me back because it's probably like, wow,
Alexis,
she never does this. She either wants to tell me good news or tell me bad news or tell me something super juicy.
Yeah.
Like something, some tea.
Yeah.
Like I never do it. So she knows it's good. So yeah. She's probably excited, frankly, when she sees my missed call.
Yeah.
You too. I call you without texting you all the time. And you'd be like, you probably have the same feeling.
What?
How bad is it or how good is it?
What about a, so you have your core friends.
Yeah.
Or your like core work connections. Then what about like the next level?
No, I email or text first.
Yeah, like but if, what if one of them called you? Then what would you feel?
Well, they,
intrusive.
They do that. So I'm getting a separate phone for first degree people, by the way, just so you guys know. On our company card, just heads up. But, well, I'm sorry, we have to, because I get literally, first of all, love you guys. All the worst phone calls come to my phone. I need that to go somewhere else. Plus, I text with all of our interviewees, which are great.
Oh, yes.
But our because I'm like, hey, text me. We'll coordinate a time to talk. So there's been 150. So like everybody has access to my phone, which is great. Here for it. But the thing is that some people just call. Either way, I'm voting guilty because I don't want people to do that.
No.
Text first.
It is an intrusion. Intrusion.
I'm going to say not guilty. Just do it.
Do you want me to call
I
you?
I like it. It's kind of bold. All right. I'm changing my mind.
I say not guilty.
I say do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a grand gesture.
You know what? Yeah. We need more communication. And texting, a lot of times, just doesn't work because you can't. There's a lot of nuance.
Well, not guilty.
And it's disconnected. Wow, you really changed your mind.
Right? Because I kind of like it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Call someone you care about today.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let them get away from you. Don't text. Don't give them the opportunity to not text you back.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on the
confront
horn.
Confront them.
Trap them.
Trap them.
Trap them. Trap them in a conversation they don't want to have.
Trap them and then talk at them.
Yeah.
You know what? It's going to be not guilty for me being the caller. Can I?
Yes, fine.
Make that caveat.
It's not how it works.
Yes, but, you okay. can. Yeah. There's a stipulation here.
Yes, I'll say not guilty. But those who are listening that know me, don't call me. All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for True Crime in Real Time.
A new segment that you're going to learn all about when we're back. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The Real Real makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The Real Real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day.
At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Okay, so True Crime in Real Time is a brand new segment when we're kind of bringing you the... Well, you know what? I should actually let Billy describe this because this is his segment. So go ahead, Billy.
We're bringing you the latest true crime news. Not necessarily the biggest true crime stories, but the stories that we've all shared in our personal text messaging group.
In real time, if you say.
Well, yes. And also just there has been, you know, a lot of articles that have been shared in our Facebook group that we are like, oh, shit, we got to talk about this.
And this is where crimes are unfolding sort of in front of our eyes, mm-hmm. where they haven't had resolve yet. So it's something to discuss sort of as the conclusion approaches eventually.
So before Billy gets into his true crime in real time, I have a fun little anecdote. It's not an anecdote at all. I just have a fun fact.
Okay.
That one of our firsties shared in the First Degree Facebook group. So do you guys remember the song Fastball the Way?
Yes.
No.
Great song. Great song.
Left before the sun came up that day.
Yeah.
Wait, what is, how does the chorus go?
People live in
the road that they walk on
is paved in gold. And it's always sunny whenever it gets cold.
Okay. So that's enough of that.
I know that one.
I'll auto-tune that.
Yeah. That was so horrible.
Nothing like late 90s
music. Oh my God, that
music.
Sounded great
The worst
to me.
Time for music
it
ever.
It was probably horrific.
That sounded good.
And I'm sure everybody listening probably turned the volume down a little bit. So,
sorry.
The song Fastball the Way, one of our firsties shared this in the Facebook group. So it has a morbid, true crime adjacent theme to the song.
Meaning?
Yeah, can I explain the
Please.
Whole premise of the song? Okay. So front man of Fastball, Tony Scalzo, came up with the idea for the song after reading articles which described the June 1997 disappearance of an elderly married couple, Leela and Raymond Howard. So they left their home one day to attend this Pioneer Day. It was a fiddling festival.
Where do they live?
They lived in Salado, Texas. Mm-hmm. And they left to go to this festival in Temple, Texas. I guess it's around there. But Leela has had Alzheimer's and Raymond recently recovered from brain surgery. But they're like, we're going to go. We're going to drive ourselves to this festival, even though, you know, they were dealing with some aging issues.
Sure.
They were discovered 2 weeks later, dead at the bottom of a ravine near Hot Springs, Arkansas, Aww. Hundreds of miles off their intended route. So the song's lyrics revolve around this older married couple, and they decided to leave their life behind, packing their things and going driving without telling their children about their plans at all.
Wow.
Like, their kids had no idea where they were going. They just left for this festival. Their car breaks down during the trip, forcing them to continue by foot, and the chorus expresses the idea that the couple are achieving happiness by losing touch with the world, even though they may never see home again.
Aww.
Did you ever think it was that deep?
Nope.
Isn't that crazy? Like, it's so funny, the songs that we remember, especially from our past, that you just sing the lyrics to, having mm-hmm. no idea. Like, Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks, mm-hmm. was about Columbine.
Yeah.
And people are just singing that songs at parties, like having no idea whatsoever. It's such a poppy song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Fastball the Way. I never had any idea that it had such a morbid
Me
theme.
Either.
All right, Billy, let's get into true crime in real time.
Yes. All right. So the most hated woman in America is...
Casey Anthony.
And she allegedly got into a bar fight with a woman over a man they both dated.
First of all... She's going out in public? Like, she's out, like...
I think she's out and about.
Integrated in the world.
Is
she's cash about it.
Also, interesting that that's what the fight was over.
Yeah, not like, child murderer! With, like, a swing and a miss. It's like, no, you're fighting over a man... Okay, sweetie, if you're fighting over a man with Casey Anthony, you need to up your standards. Like, you don't want that man.
Yeah, a man that is also choosing to date Casey Anthony. There's a lot of issues to unpack there.
So apparently the woman, Anthony actually called the police.
She did.
And said this woman poured a drink on her at a bar called O'Shea's Irish Pub.
If I had a dollar for every time someone spilled a drink on me or intentionally dumped a drink on me, I'd be a rich woman.
Yeah, that's pretty rich that she called the police.
Yeah.
In a situation like that.
That is.
And then just got, you know, completely free out of fucking murder.
Yeah.
So police, I'm reading this from People Magazine, by the way. Police responded to the bar and interviewed both women. Anthony described the woman who whose name is Thelma Moya as an arch nemesis.
Oh my
arch
god.
Nemesis?
Classic.
Like, in quotes, who was once her friend before they dated the same man. And it's you have millions of arch nemeses. That's the thing with this woman.
Dude, is
that
you're the most nemesis? You're telling the cops this?
I can't believe an adult woman has one of those.
Yes.
I don't have one.
I actually do want to know the backstory behind this. I need to know, did Casey date him first? Did Thelma? Thelma also, honestly, what was her last name?
Moya.
Thelma Moya sounds a little bit like a fake name, a little bit like Zanny the Nanny.
Whoa. You know?
Sounds like maybe you made it up.
Zanny the Nanny.
I don't know.
Well, you want to hear more? It's good because this is going to be turned into a reality show on Lifetime.
Is it really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God. Oh, I totally bought that, though.
I honestly wouldn't put it past more of a TLC show.
Sure.
But.
Bad Gals Club, similar, like adjacent.
Okay, so that was the first big one. Now the second one is a lot sadder. Body of missing man found in a Spanish dinosaur statue.
Where is it?
It is in a suburb of Barcelona.
That is so strange. And it's inside of like is it the equivalent of like a LACMA museum? And for those who don't know, LACMA, they've got like tar pits. It's like dinosaur centric.
Oh, it was where the dinosaurs roamed.
And where they sunk into the tar.
Yes.
Apparently. So it's a big dinosaur like
structure.
Is it papier-mâché?
I'm sorry. Papier-mâché?
Papier-mâché.
Yes. And in fact, a father and son noticed a smell emanating from the papier-mâché figure.
Was it?
Yes.
It was paper mache?
Yeah.
I knew it.
No, it wasn't.
You read the article.
No, I didn't. I just guessed.
Okay. I'm sorry. Wait, paper mache can withstand like outside.
Well, they coat it.
Only for so long.
They coat it with like that Mod Podge stuff.
All I remember.
Gallons,
with
buckets.
Paper mache would put it around like a balloon.
Oh my God.
They glaze it. Properly done papier mache can be anything.
Withstand the weather.
Sure.
Harsh weathers of Barcelona.
With a waterproof glaze.
Interesting.
Now, here's what happened. Local media reported that the man, this comes from the BBC, by the way, they didn't name him, but he was trying to retrieve a cell phone that he dropped inside the statue.
And no one knew?
He then fell inside the statue and was left trapped upside down, unable to call for help.
Oh my God.
And he was alone when he did this?
So
that
awful.
Was
it's so senseless.
Freak
and
accident.
Sad. Oh my gosh.
Zero malice whatsoever. Like, that's just tragic. Yeah. Just sad.
I hate accidents like that. Those are the most terrifying things you hear about, where it's like, just getting your cell phone that you dropped.
Mm-hmm. So innocuous.
Oh, God, that poor guy. Oh, my gosh. Rest in peace. That's awful. I feel so bad for his family.
Last one, Lori Vallow, who probably is the second most hated woman.
She might be the first most hated woman at this point.
Yeah.
A little bit worse. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, two children and an ex-wife of her husband. Yeah. So, and her, probably her ex-husband, and her brother's dead too. So everyone.
And who knows who else?
Who knows how many more?
Yes.
Fucking psychopaths.
So she's been found unfit to stand trial for the case of killing her two children.
Insane.
God, you guys, this is something that has come up a lot, like in the last few days for me and like stuff I'm looking into right now. It's fucked up. There's this thing called the halo effect.
What's that?
Halo effect is when attractive people receive favorable court outcomes, and people can't really understand it. But if you look at the attractiveness of people coupled with, you look at the attractiveness of people against their sentencing, against their trial outcomes, overwhelmingly attractive people get favorable outcomes. They don't get acquitted always, but it's just... Anyone else would not have gotten, they would not have been found unfit.
Mm-hmm.
She is so not crazy.
I know.
She's like, when she was in Hawaii, she was like being accosted by reporters. She's having cohesive conversations with her friends, trying to cover up. She's conspiring. She's manipulating. She's lying. And she knows the difference between right and wrong. So like, it's just so disheartening because she's a beautiful woman. And that's why she's getting this outcome.
It reminds me, there were some audio recordings of when her kids had gone missing and the police kept going to her house being like,
Where are your kids?
And she literally talked her way
flirts.
Out of everything.
She's such
to
a
the
flirt.
Fact that I think after one of these meetings, the police were like, so sorry for bothering you. Like, please have
a good
day.
We totally get it.
Like, you get it. It's like she is so manipulative that she can manipulate the shit out of these cops. I'm sure she's manipulating the shit out of the judge or whoever it is to. And God knows how she's. I mean, she's a fantastic actor. So if she is now pretending to be whatever way that she is.
No, the thing is that I don't think she's having like religious delusions. I think she's similar to a Charles Manson follower, right? Like where they're delusional because they decided to believe in a person. But that's how she is with Chad Daybell, her husband. Like she's not incompetent. She understands what murder is. It's just fucking baffling. It's so upsetting because her children, I mean, you see her moving bodies out of a storage unit on surveillance. She's not
just
competent.
So casually.
She's
so
competent
casually.
To get married. She's competent to do all this other stuff, but not to be held accountable. Okay.
Classic.
So those are the three stories that we have for true crime in real time. When we come back, we're going to hear about the worst things that all of you have done.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
All right, all you naughty ladies and gents doing the naughtiest things and confessing here to your podcast BFFs, I am here for it. I have to tell you, I listened to like 30 of them today being like, what do I want to delve into?
Now we have so many that you have to sift.
So many. And I love you guys so much for being so candid and honest about your dirty, dirty deeds because we all have them.
Mm-hmm,
and I sure want them because we want to make you feel better about them.
Mm-hmm. Lex, where can they call in to send their dirty deeds?
Well, Jacqueline, if our listeners want to call in and leave us a voicemail confessing their naughty, naughty worst deeds, they can call us at 323-539-3516. We're actually not going to give you the email option anymore because we want voice notes.
And we're getting so many calls that now
we don't need to slum it with emails.
We don't need to read them off.
No. Yeah. So we send us your stuff. We'll make you feel better about it. I promise. So we're going to start with our first one. Stand by.
Hi, guys. This is Jen from the UK. Okay, so worst thing I've ever done. So I suffer really badly with psoriasis, like quite a lot of the body. Was out shopping one day, and there was this child playing up so awfully terribly. And she came up and kept pointing at me and going, what's the matter with you? That's disgusting. So me being maybe not in the best frame of mind that day, decided I would tell her that I'd caught my skin condition from a game of tag. And then as she continued to play up, I just walked past her, touched her on the shoulder and said, "You're it," and walked out. And all I could hear in the background was this little kid screaming, thinking that she caught psoriasis from a game of tag. Possibly a little bit too horrible, nasty, but I thought I'd share. Thanks. Bye.
Whoa, yes.
Oh my God.
I love the evil instincts inside of her. Like, she didn't even think about it. She was like, you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
Scar this child forever.
Yeah, you couldn't write that.
No.
You couldn't write that maneuver into a movie. Like,
yeah, and just say, you know, first of all, Everything sounds good with an English accent. We do agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Sweetie, I don't know you, but you're sexy.
Yes. Hot.
And the way that she said, "You're it," was so good. Yeah. It was like Jared was saying, this was like out of a movie.
Like, incredible story, but also the delivery was really well done.
Spot on.
I gotta say, I support her. If there's not a parent standing by to say, "Honey, you don't point and you don't make remarks about people's appearance," then we gotta take it into our own hands.
That's true.
And you know what? Like, I don't have kids, but if I did, I would be devastated if they made somebody feel that way. It's okay for kids to be curious and do inappropriate shit. They do it. But the mom should be there mortified, you know, so you feel okay about it. But you know what, lady? You had to parent that child, and you did a good job.
That child learned the hard way.
Yeah. And you know Bravo. What? That child's going to look back on that as a life lesson.
If they remember it, or maybe the trauma.
After the 5 and 6 years of therapy, they'll be like, you know what?
That kid deserved it.
It's just repressed deep down in there.
And lots of people have psoriasis, including Kim Kardashian. And let's normalize that shit. We all can't help these conditions, and there shouldn't be remarks at physical appearance stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I think you did the right thing.
I love it.
If you were on the stand, I'd find you innocent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Fantastic story.
Yes. Next up, in the worst thing you've ever done, here we go.
All right. So here is my story for probably the worst thing that I've ever done. So my first year of college, I am invited by this guy to this party. So I go to this party with this guy off campus at someone's house, and I'm just slamming shots and get blackout drunk. Pretty much the only thing I remember from that night is hooking up with this guy at that person's house on top of the washing machine. I don't remember anything else from that night. Don't remember how we got back to his dorm room. Don't remember anything. Don't remember anyone who was at that party. So the next day, I'm at work, and I get this text saying, "Hey, is this person's number?" So I respond and say, "Yeah, who's this?" And I get this text back saying, "You're such a fucking whore. I can't believe you would leave and not clean up your mess. How disgusting is it to leave blood all over someone's washing machine and not clean it up?" So apparently during my sexcapade the night before, I bled a lot all over this random person's washing machine, and in my blackout drunkenness either didn't notice or didn't care. I was absolutely mortified after getting this text and couldn't believe that I had left blood all over and didn't clean it up. So I didn't even respond and say sorry. So that's my story for probably the worst thing that I've ever done.
Okay, first of all, why wasn't her friend more concerned that maybe she had gotten murdered?
She didn't know them. But she didn't know anyone at this party.
Then how did they know it was her?
How'd they get the phone number?
She doesn't know. But she said, "I don't know a single person at this party. I only knew the guy I was there with." So she didn't explain how they knew it was her, but like she didn't know anyone at this party, remember anyone at this party. So it's not clear how the number was given.
I just straight to shaming, though? It looks like a crime scene.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying.
I think the straight to shame is super fucked up. Because if I found blood everywhere, I'd be worried about somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't you be concerned about her safety?
Even if it was a stranger, yeah, I would. And I think disparaging somebody without all the information is really fucked up. And, like, if you're a woman, too, fucking have some compassion. Like, listen,
nobody is bleeding all over somebody's
on
property on purpose.
No.
Like, we don't do that out of vengeance.
No.
And it's a washing machine. It's something
wipe
that
it
you
up.
Can
It's not even fabric. You don't have to wash it.
It's not like...
I'm also sorry. You have a rager with a bunch of strangers. Like, you're opening yourself up to this kind of thing. And you know what, girl? Men don't have to worry about this because they don't have fucking periods. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be on top of it all the fucking time. We just can't. And you know what? You couldn't either. And you're entitled to be blacked out in your college years. I'm glad you're safe, first of all.
Listen, I would also rather deal with that than deal with somebody puking all over the place.
100%. There's like, nothing worse than puke.
Or like shitting their pants all over the
Honestly,
place.
Honestly, girl, this is the best case scenario for you.
Jared's face.
I don't know.
You'd rather have... I mean, vomit?
Some people do are really bad with blood. Not me, but some people are. Right?
Like, but that's not really a wound, but Jared, do you understand what's going on?
Yeah, but you like entered like the scene. You don't know what
happened.
Yeah,
you're entering
there,
the crime
you know?
Scene.
You
but,
don't know.
But that's they obviously the thing. They assumed that like you're on your period. How dare you bleed
True.
All over the place?
True.
Like
literally
if she could have
been hurt, that's not the kind of text she would have gotten. So all I want to say is we're in your court mm-hmm. on your side. These things happen and you can't beat yourself up. Again. Periods are a thing that men don't have to deal with. It's an added space in your head that you can't always just monitor 100%, and you're entitled to your party times.
And again, I think your point of the fact somebody's going to throw a rager and invite a bunch of people that they don't know. What do you think is going to happen? You think people are going to bring their own wine and have their own like little fancy drink and then leave at 8 p.m.
I bet you this party had like a vat of jungle juice. Like bet you they were trying to fuck people
Probably
up.
Probably the least of their worries what happened
honestly,
in the laundry room.
Honestly, leave her alone. She was getting hers. And you know what? Women shouldn't be afraid to have sex in their periods either. So you do you, girl. Fuck that house owner. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it was a man or woman, but you're safe here.
Track your cycle and go back over.
That's right. That's right. Double down.
That's what we do. Double down.
Always.
All right. Well, that is the conclusion of this week's Killing Time. And you know, we always set it off with a nice Costanza. So take it away, Alexis.
I have to say that this one I'm very proud of.
Okay.
Brace yourselves. I'm a little George Pot, short and stout. Here is my bald head, and here is my pout. When my glasses steam up, then I shout. I'm fucking George Costanza. Now peace out.
Wow. Amazing.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.